Whoa, buddy. Put that thing back in its holster. We haven't gone anywhere.
I don't understand.
Check out the MichaelDukesShow.com for information on how to get access to the podcast.
The Michael Dukes Show.
I have two guns. One for each of you.
Firearms Friday.
As Thomas Jefferson stated, it is the right and duty of the people to be at all times armed.
To be at all times armed.
Say hello to my dear friend!
I say that the Second Amendment is, in order of importance, the First Amendment. The right to keep and bear arms is the one right that allows rights to exist at all.
The Michael Dukes Show. The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Not be infringed. Firearms.
From my cold, dead hands.
Friday.
Here's my rifle, where's my gun?
This is for fighting, it's for fun.
Firearms Friday.
Firearms Friday. Hi, how are you? Ooh, baby, man, what a day. What a day. There's going to be so much stuff happening right now going on. In fact, in the background as we speak, old Chuckie Schumer is out there on the floor of the Senate, basically making comparisons to the Anita Hill trial, saying Anita Hill's was completely fair and balanced compared to what we've seen today. Old Dianne Feinstein spent 20 minutes bashing Brett Kavanaugh and comparing his understanding of the Second Amendment that he basically, and she actually read a decision and part of a dissenting decision that I hadn't even heard yet, which makes me like him even more, which basically said that based on a true reading of the Constitution, that basically if firearms were not regulated at the time of the writing of the Constitution, then essentially all firearms regulations were in point and in part unconstitutional. She used that as a reason not to vote for him. For me, that's a reason yet to vote for him yet again. So we're going to be watching. The confirmation hearings are going on in the background, and the vote is scheduled to take place in about 21 minutes. And so we will probably be going live to the start of that so you can hear what's going on and understand what's happening. Now, that being said, we're also going to be talking a lot about firearms today. It is Firearms Friday. It's our chance to educate the public, educate all the folks out there, and, you know, just kind of demystify what's going on with firearms in America. That's the whole point of the show. I mean, when we got started here, right here in Fairbanks, in fact, this show started, the Firearms Friday component of it probably 15 years ago. And we use it as a way to educate the public, is to, and you know, again, take that probably 30 or 40 years of programming that you've been given by the news media, by the entertainment industry, and to try and give you some factual representation of what firearms are all about. So that's where we're going to be going today. That's what we're going to be doing. In hour one, our guest, who is going to help us suss out everything that's going on in the Senate vote, and what does it mean for our Second Amendment rights and everything else, is Michael Hammond, who is the legislative counsel, as in the attorney, on legislative matters for Gun Owners of America. He's going to be talking with us specifically. He spent over 20 years in the Senate working behind the scenes and getting things, you know, kind of sussed out and squared away. He and I are going to talk specifically about what is going on with this vote and what does it mean for us, and you know, what could potentially happen, what could go wrong, what is going to be part of the issue as we move forward. So that is it. We're also going to, again, like I said, do gun Q&A in the second hour of the program, where we will take your calls. I'll be giving out the phone number at that point so that you can call up and ask questions, talk about, you know, firearms ideas, and it could be anything. It could be simple, It could be simple, simple firearms questions, or it could be something more advanced, tactics or tips or tricks or advice on certain things, you know, trying to answer questions on gun laws, etc. Now, it doesn't mean that I know everything about it, but I've got a pretty good grasp on most of it. And if not, I have a black belt in Google. My Google foo is strong. And of course, as I've always said, I do have the smartest listeners out there on the planet, and we appreciate folks coming in. So I see we had Phil and Larry, Joel, of course, lovely Sandy, and more all joining us in the chat room. We appreciate you guys coming in there. If you would like to participate in the chat room, it's kind of a nice way to be able to talk to the show in the background as well. Plus, you get extra behind-the-scenes stuff when we go to the top of the hour and the breaks and things like that. There's kind of extra discussions. You can also view that after the fact by going to Facebook.com/Michael Duke Show. We are simulcasting the show on Facebook Live at the same time. And, of course, podcasts are available of the broadcast as well. All you have to do is go to MichaelDukeShow.com. You can click on the podcast links and find our SoundCloud page. Or if you have an iPhone, it's on iTunes under podcasts. If you have an Android, you could find it at Google Play or on CastBox or Stitcher. And finally, if you just want to do it all in one place, just get the TuneIn Radio app. And the TuneIn Radio app will not only allow you to stream the show wherever you are on any mobile device, you will also be able to listen to past episodes of the show. And in fact, I just discovered this the other day. I was here at the station talking to the GM here in Fairbanks. He and I are old friends. We went to high school together. And we were sitting there just shooting the breeze. And he has an Alexa on his desk. And he's showing off his Alexa, doing things with some of his other radio stations. You know, hey, Alexa, play X-Rock, or, you know, whatever it was that he was saying. And I got this wild hair, and I'm like, hey, Alexa, play the Michael Duke Show. First, it didn't know what it says. It said, hey, Alexa, play the Michael Duke Show on TuneIn Radio. Playing the latest episode of the Michael Duke Show from TuneIn Radio. No kidding. If you've got an Alexa, you could tell her to bring me into your house. I don't know if that's a good idea. I really don't. That might be a little scary. But you can do it. It works. It actually played the last episode loaded up on the podcast, which I'm a little behind on because I'm here remotely, so I'll be loading up all the rest of the podcast today. But, yeah, I mean, you can have it all right there. It's just, it's amazing. It's just, the technology is so good. So basically what I'm saying is I'm everywhere and I'm taking over the world. Radio, Facebook, podcasts, streams, tune in. Wherever it is you want to find it, we've got it everywhere. It's going to be great stuff. All right. Well, let's take a crack at what we're going to cover today. I'm going to tell you right now that there is some there's some interesting things going on out in the world when it comes to firearms and firearms goodness. Of course, this Kavanaugh hearing is going to be a big deal. Without Kavanaugh, we are. I think you can already see that they are going to continue to try and take pot shots at Heller. For as much as the Democrats continued to lambast and worry themselves into a frenzy over Kavanaugh's potential for upsetting precedent on Roe v. Wade, they would be more than happy to upset precedent on Heller, D.C. versus Heller, because, of course, that is the Supreme Court decision that basically says what the Constitution already says, is that the right to keep and bear arms is an individual right. I mean, again, which I don't even understand why that took an entire Supreme Court case to figure out, because, did you not read the writings of the founders? They'll tell you, right, it's all about an individual right. It's not about being the National Guard or the militia or working for the government to protect yourself. It's about none of that stuff. It is about the individual right. Every one of those 10 amendments is about an individual right. Sorry, I worked myself up into a dry throat. Every one of those amendments is about an individual right. Heller is no different, but the Democrats would just love to kill Heller. Absolutely love to reverse that precedent And I don't think it just cannot happen. It cannot happen. And so I think that's why, and he's, again, a Heller originalist, and I think that that is, that's where we need to go. It looks like Americans are starting to get a little bit fed up with some of the different laws, and I'm going to lay out a little bit of a timeline here. I've only got about 3 minutes left of this segment, but I'm going to lay out a little bit of a timeline here because you can see things, you can see what's going on out there in the world. Remember, we had the New York Safe Act. Do you remember that back in 2013? It was passed. This is right after Newtown and Sandy Hook. And Governor Cuomo pushed through this act in the state of New York called the New York Safe Act. That basically redefined between 1 and 2 million firearms in the state of New York as being assault weapons. And again, this law was, I mean, in my mind, blatantly unconstitutional, especially in light of Heller and everything else. But they went ahead and did it. And what happened when the April 15th, 2014 deadline rolled around? Well, they found that as few as about 5,000 of the estimated 1 to 2 million, that's a pretty big, I mean, they really didn't know how many were there. But they, I mean, at least a million. They had about 5,000 of the estimated million plus firearms had been registered. That, I mean, that was going on. Then you add to that the Connecticut assault weapons ban. And the Connecticut assault weapons ban also had just a dismal compliance rate. It turns out when it was all said and done that they estimated that there was over 375,000 plus, quote-unquote, assault weapons. It's a military-style sporting rifle. 375,000 of them had not been registered as well. And the trend continues. In Vermont, bump stocks have been banned, and that's a fact. According to Tom Knighton over at Bearing Arms, the state offered up a no-questions-asked amnesty period last month for owners of the device. They wanted to get these evil bump stocks off the street because apparently they're an absolute menace to society. I mean, just a menace. They were just dangerous as hell, despite the fact that there have been any crimes in Vermont ever committed with them. And in fact, really, there's only been one crime purportedly committed in the United States with them. Well, it turns out that, again, people in Vermont are probably not willing to play along again because what they discovered was after they did all this, offered the grace period and said that after October 1, you could risk up to 1 year in prison and get $1,000 in fines. They now said that according to state police spokesman, that as of Tuesday, just two had been turned in statewide. Two of the bump stocks had been turned in statewide. Just two. I mean, look, this is the thing. And I'm out of time here, but I'm just going to run along for just a second. Let me just throw this out there. This is what's going on. People are just done. I think they're done with giving ground. Even if the law says they should, I think, again, they're willing to risk the consequences of that. Now, I think we should obey the laws. I'm not saying that we shouldn't, but If you're an adult and if you're willing to, again, take a stand, civil disobedience is one of the greatest American values that we have ever exercised in this country and has been used to great effect to fight back against unjust laws. So I support this idea. I mean, but again, this noncompliance is just going to continue to move forward. The dumber the laws get, the more useless they are, I think the more people that are going to refuse to comply. And we're seeing less and less compliance with these gun laws. Sooner or later, though, somebody in some state, probably New York or California, is going to push something too far. And then you could find out how, you know, pissed off and fed up gun owners really are. And I think that is the danger for what we're facing in society, because nobody needs that. Hopefully, they get the message on this. I don't know if they will or not. We'll find out with more. We got Michael Hammond with Gun Owners of America coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It is the Michael Duke Show, your home for common sense, liberty-based, free-thinking radio.
We've shed our terrestrial radio skin, and now we are slimy lizard internet people. It's the Michael Duke Show.
We are in the break, and we're going to be coming back here in just a moment. I've got a minute to call. I've got a minute to call Michael Hammond here. Let's reach out to him and see what he has to say this morning.
Hello?
Hi, Michael. How are you doing?
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm good, sir. Good. I'm just watching the commentary and commentating as we go through here. Did you catch Dianne Feinstein's comments?
Excuse me?
I'm sorry. That's right. You didn't have a TV in front of you. You didn't catch Dianne Feinstein's comments on guns. She actually went out and specifically talked about Heller and how Kavanaugh was a horrible choice, especially with his view on guns. And then she quoted some dissent that I had never heard before from him, where he basically said that if guns were not regulated during the time of the writing of the Constitution,
then they can't be regulated now.
That ostensibly
can't be regulated now. Yeah, he's issued three dissents or three opinions on guns. All three of them have been good. One was on language that I actually drafted in the McClure-Volkmer Farms Owners Protection Act of 1986.
Nice.
And so he has a special check mark from me when he takes language I drafted and interprets it as I intended it to be interpreted.
Good, good. Well, we're talking right now. We're in the break. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes here because I went to break just a little bit late. I was pontificating on something.
Okay.
And we're going to come back here in just a second. Hold on 1 second. I got a little bit of a problem here. But the Facebook audience is in the background, and they are listening to us as we see fit. We're just getting ready to go and continuing to chat here. Okay, I fixed what my problem was. So what I'll do, Mike, is I'll get just a little bit of your history, because Eric didn't send me a bio. I was expecting a bio to be able to read out there. So I'll just introduce you, and you can give us a little bit of your background, and then we can dive right into it, and we'll start talking about Kavanaugh specifically, what your experience has been with some of these votes, how it's going to work, and then we can dive down into, like you said, his decisions and things like that. It should be an interesting conversation.
Okay. Sounds great.
All right, so I'm going to kind of pot you back here just a little bit so I can't hear what's going on your end for a minute while I talk to the audience. Okay, folks. Don't forget, mash the share button. It is an opportunity to win yourself some delicious Michael Duke Show Beard Curler coffee. In fact, Sandy got a bag yesterday, delivered personally by me. It was great to see her. Had a good time over there and saying hi and see. In fact, it was like old home week. I ended up running into some old friends while I was there and everything else. I mean, it was very, very good. But now Sandy is, she should be drinking some Beard Curler coffee this morning. Now, it's guaranteed to curl your beard, whether you have one or not, or double your money back. And since I give it to you for free, I don't know what that's worth. But if you would like a free bag of Beard Curler coffee, all you got to do is hit that share button. Second thing, if you'd like to join the Common Sense Corps, which is our cool kids club, it is our behind the scenes menace. It is the way that we help fund the show outside of what we're doing, you know, get extra stuff, maybe get a producer here, do all these other things, and get early access to posts and blog posts and Facebook links and polls and get some swag and get free coffee and get all this other stuff. If you want to be part of that whole crew, the Common Sense Corps, all you got to do is go to patreon.com/Michael Duke Show. That's patreon.com/Michael Duke Show, or go to michaeldukeshow.com and click on Join the Corps. Special thanks to Sandy, who is a core member. Special thanks to Kathy yesterday, who joined in. She then said, yes, now you can put shoes on your dogs and your kids' feet, which is what I said in the... It was funny. All right, we are up against it. Here we go. We're about to jump into it. Don't go anywhere. The Michael Duke Show, your home for common sense, liberty-based, free-thinking radio. That's right. Welcome back. It's a beach party. I mean, it's only 36 degrees outside, but it's a beach party. That's what we're all about. The Michael Duke Show. We are back now, Firearms Friday, watching Mitch McConnell is now on the on the floor of the Senate, making his final impassioned pleas. We're about 3.5 minutes now away from what is going to be, I think, a historic vote. And we've got a great guest today. Joining me on the phone is Michael Hammond, who is the Legislative Counsel for Gun Owners of America. Of course, we know that Gun Owners is near and dear to our heart. I'm a life member. They are a very unique organization, small in numbers compared to some of the bigger ones, but mighty in action. When you say that GOA members are coming to call on your office, the senators kind of scurry away. So it's pretty amazing stuff. Michael Hammond joins us right now. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Alaska.
We appreciate you coming on board, Michael, and talking with us. So first,
thanks for having me.
Can you give us a little bit of your background? I know you've got kind of a unique background in dealing with a lot of these legislative matters. You've got a lot of experience in history. Can you give us just a short thumbnail here?
Yeah, I've been legislative counsel at Gun Owners of America for 25 years now. Before that, I worked for the United States Senate for almost 2 decades. And during most of my time there, I was general counsel to the Senate Steering Committee, which means that I was the comprehensive legislative planner for the conservative half of the Republican Party in the Senate. As such, I managed, among other things, most of the proactive gun legislation during that time, including the McClure Votemer Firearms Owners Protection Act, which 100% of it came off my typewriter. And yes, it was a typewriter.
And yes, it was it. It was in 1986. It was a typewriter.
And let me say, for those of you who say, oh, he's an attorney, although I am an attorney, in my defense, I'm not a very good one.
Well, that's, you know what, that's a stirring testimony. Thank you so much.
Yes.
But you do have a lot of experience on what's going on, so I think that's going to make you uniquely qualified to be with us today as this vote begins to take place, which it looks like it is about to here in just a moment. They're about to start things off. So, Michael, can you give us an idea of what exactly, first of all, we're going to talk about why it's important that Kavanaugh's confirmed some of his decisions, some of his dissents, but can you tell us exactly what the mechanics of the process are now that they are moving forward, that this vote is about to be held?
Okay. Well, first of all, they'll go through a list of senators. They'll read all the names of the senators. I don't know whether McConnell's going to try to call people to the Senate floor and have them cast their votes from their desk. But at the end of that process, and in many cases, we won't see the way the senators vote when they actually cast their votes. At the end of that process, the clerk will stand up and say, senators voting in the affirmative. And then we'll list the names of all the senators who voted yes. And then they'll say, senators voting in the negative. And they'll list the names of all the senators who voted no. After that, any senator who wanders onto the floor will be recognized, will cast their vote, and the clerk will repeat what their vote is. So technically, that's what the mechanics are. What they're voting on is they're voting on to end debate. That is, it's called in Senate terms cloture. They're voting to end debate on the Kavanaugh nomination, and under a precedent which was created by Harry Reid, thank you very much, in 2013, that only needs 50 votes plus Mike Pence. And so
be careful what you wish for, Harry.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm normally not in favor of changing the Senate rules. I'm normally a traditionalist. And I had warned for decades that if they began doing away with the filibuster, it would come back to bite them. And lo and behold, Harry Reid finds that his little sleazy parliamentary trick, which got him a few extra judges on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, is probably going to lose the Supreme Court for the Democrats. So when you play fraud with the Senate rules, you normally end up being bitten by it.
Right. So Mitch McConnell is on the floor right now. Now, Michael's not going to hear it, and the Facebook audience is not going to hear it, but I'm going to pot it up here just for a second, see what Mitch McConnell's saying. Okay, he is pontificating, as the others have, as to why Judge Kavanaugh should be excoriated and run out of town and tarred and feathered, essentially, on the other side. No, what the other side is saying, he's excoriating them for reading that into the record. I'm sorry, I apologize.
Excoriating them from saying that he should be tarred and feathered.
Yeah, exactly, because that's what they did.
It really is interesting that... you know, this seems to be a standard operating procedure for the Democrats. One of the advantages of being very, very old, and there aren't a whole lot of them, is that you see these things come around again and again and again. And this is the trick of choice by the Democrats when they're in a pinch. Oh, we have this person who testified that 30 years ago he did something untoward. And normally it turns out that the person has a bad memory, that they perhaps are operating slightly in bad faith for the purpose of getting their face all over the TV with adulation from MSNBC and CNN and lots of money and job offers. So both of those have fallen apart now. Okay, can I say something about that? We, Gun Owners of America, also fought to dismantle this effort by the National Security Agency to monitor billions of phone calls without any statutory authority. And specifically, we fought the reauthorization of what's called Section 702, which was of the post 9/11 legislation, which allowed them to do this. So we fought that. We're on your side on that. In fairness, Kavanaugh felt that he was following a very strictly laid down Supreme Court precedent that said it was constitutional. And I'm not sure how much you can follow. I mean, there are some times in which a circuit court judge just has to toe the line and say,
right,
you know, if the Supreme Court says this, the Supreme Court is wrong. But I'm not sure that I fault him that much for saying that a precedent set by a court above me has to be followed whether or not I like the outcome.
Right. Well, and like I said, it's not a deal breaker per se. It is the one thing, really, of all the things that he's talked about. It is the one that probably is the most glaringly concerning to me. But at the same time, I think the rest of his originalist positions are all, I think, very strong. But let's talk for a minute from your perspective, as you know, your time in the Senate, your time as legislative counsel for GOA, why we need Brett Kavanaugh in the Supreme Court, and what does it mean for gun owners? Because there was a little trepidation in the beginning as well. I think there was a little scrambling trying to figure out where he actually stood on some things in the very early days. But what's going on here? You have got a handle on this. Give us some background here.
Well, he issued three decisions on guns. Basically, the first one said that semi-autos are constitutionally protected by the Heller decision. If he were seated on the Supreme Court, there's a real possibility that states like New York and Connecticut and California that have comprehensively banned semi-automatics would have their statutes overturned. It's probably a good thing, because the more recent drafts we're seeing, you know, when they pass gun control, it's never effective, and it always serves as a platform for more gun control. They're never satisfied, and they never will be satisfied until guns are completely banned. But some of the more recent statutes which have been introduced are saying not only are we outlawing the most popular forms of semi-automatics, but we're outlawing them retroactively, so the one you have is illegal. And that's a pretty nasty outcome, and probably an outcome which would be avoided if Kavanaugh were confirmed to the Supreme Court. The second decision he cast was one on language I had drafted concerning what you need to know in order to go to prison. And under the language I had drafted, basically you had to know that you were violating the law. You couldn't be oblivious to the type of gun you had and still be convicted. And Kavanaugh correctly said that that meant that if you had a machine gun and you didn't know it was a machine gun, and you thought it was a semi-automatic, you couldn't go to prison for a 30-year mandatory minimum sentence for that.
Well, which again flies in the face of a lot of the things that we hear out there, that ignorance of the law is no excuse, and we still seen it abused. I mean, David Olofsson comes to mind as a guy who had a gun that malfunctioned and then was then prosecuted as a for owning a machine gun. I mean, so I'm
exactly
glad. Yeah,
his gun malfunctioned, and he was prosecuted and ultimately sent to prison because his semi-auto was deemed to be a machine gun because he pulled the trigger, it malfunctioned, and it fired more than one burst for a pull of the trigger.
Right, right. Michael, hold on a second here as we come up on the break. I'm looking up. The Senate is now, as Michael was talking about, they're now all sitting quietly. Apparently, the vote is actually going on right now in the background. Oh, we're coming up on Murkowski, so hold on a second, folks.
Okay.
We're at Lee, Mike Lee. Manchin did not vote for cloture.
He voted against cloture?
He wasn't there. Hold on a second.
He wasn't there.
Menendez. Murkowski was not present, apparently, or did not say anything. I couldn't hear, and they turned the mics way up for that one. So we're going to see what happens.
Manchin has announced that he's going to vote on the winning side.
Right.
So if the Republicans produce, as I think they will, 51 votes, then Manchin will vote for cloture. If Murkowski, Flake, and Collins flake out, then Manchin will vote against cloture. I mean, well, he's announced, I'm going to vote with the winners.
Right, exactly, which is such a, oh man, such good stuff.
Wow, how creepy is that?
I know. Michael Hammond is our guest. Again, he's the legislative counsel for Gun Owners of America. We are up against the break. We're going to be watching in the background as things go on here. We'll let you know what happens on the other side. We'll be following this closely with Michael Hammond. We'll talk about the third decision that Kavanaugh has made that will affect gun owners and other things as well. Other reasons why we'd want to have him inside the courts. We're going to continue with more. Don't go anywhere. The Michael Duke Show, your home for common sense, liberty-based, free-thinking radio, heard live around the world at MichaelDukeShow.com.
We're broadcasting live through a series of tubes.
Allowing all of these entities to provide streaming stuff going on the internet.
Well, it's kind of hard to explain. Sorry. Streaming live every weekday morning on Facebook Live and MichaelDukesShow.com.
Okay, we are in the break. Michael, I'm going to try and refresh Drudge here to see, because it looks like, let me see what's going on in the background here. Miss Warren, no. Mr. Whitehouse.
Do we know how Collins votes?
No, I didn't hear that. I came into it late.
They will read the senators voting in the affirmative after they get through the roll.
All right, let's see. We're down to Wicker, so let me come back here and what's going on.
Read the name.
Here we go. They're going to read it. Let me see if I can get you guys on the speaker to hear what's going on here.
You can access the Common Sense Corps Facebook group. It's a private group where we
They're tallying. She's writing stuff down on the sheet.
Yeah, she'll read the brawl now.
Collins voted yes.
Collins?
Yep.
Then he'll win. Let's see what Flake votes. Flake?
Yep.
He's won. That's it. He has 50 votes now. Doesn't matter. Manchin will vote yes because he said I'll vote with the winners. So it's either, it'll either be 51-49 or 52-48. My guess is Murkowski isn't going to be the only Republican voting wrong.
Hold on. Oh, Murkowski did not vote for cloture.
She voted against it?
Yeah, her name was not read in the list of affirmations, so...
Well, that may be because she hasn't voted yet.
Oh, okay.
It sounded to me like she didn't vote at the time and Manchin didn't vote at the time. So after they get through reading the senators voting in the affirmative, senators voting in the negative, then any senator who votes after that, they'll say, Mr. Manchin, I.
Yeah, that's the first thing she said right before they went into senators to vote for the negative. So they're going.
He's won.
He's going to cloture, and this is essentially a formality at this point because if they've got enough for cloture, then they officially have enough for Murkowski voted. Wait a second, Michael. They just announced that Murkowski was in the vote of nay. Yeah.
Wow.
Huh.
Well, I think that says more for Murkowski than it does for Kavanaugh, who apparently is going to be confirmed, but with 51 votes.
That is, oh, man. I'm telling you right now, that is going to be a poo storm right now. That is going to be an absolute poo storm here when it's all said and done. We are getting ready to come up here. We are about 90 seconds or so out. So we wait for the final. Wait for the roll. Now, what happens? I'll probably ask you this again for the radio audience,
yes.
Michael.
Okay.
But what happens again now that the cloture's gone for? Now we have to. It has to rest a day, and then they come back for the vote. Or what's the normal procedure here?
Basically, after cloture has been invoked on an issue, the senators have 30 hours of debate, a maximum 30 hours of debate. My guess is McConnell will keep them in all night, and then at sometime tomorrow, the 30 hours will expire, and they'll have to go to a vote on final confirmation.
And of course, based on the numbers that you're seeing now, even if it's 51, you probably won't see anybody defect or anything like that. They should match essentially is what you're saying.
It would be extraordinary if final passage wasn't exactly the same as cloture. I've worked for one senator when I came to work for the Senate in 75. There was a time in which my boss Jim Buckley said, I don't feel that filibuster should be thwarted, therefore I'm going to vote against cloture every time. That decision lasted about 24 hours. It's just not a sustainable position to throw your vote two different directions on a volatile issue.
It is the Michael Duke Show. Don't go anywhere. We're just now getting all the news that's fit to print out of the U.S. Senate. Three of the four key senators voted yes for cloture. Hey, surprise, surprise, Lisa Murkowski voted no, which I think portends some pretty traumatic stuff for the Murkowski campaign. Now, we're 4 years from re-election for her, but... I don't know if Alaskans have that long a memory. We'll have to see. But this is a that's kind of momentous for what's going on, especially when Joe Manchin jumped on board with both Jeff Flake and Susan Collins to vote yes for cloture. Michael Hammond is our guest. He's the legislative counsel for Gun Owners of America. He's got 20-plus years of experience working for the Senate directly, and then another 20 working for GOA in the Senate for gun issues. And so he's got some real insight into what's happening right now. Michael, you and I were just talking about this. A cloture vote almost always portends what's going to be happening in the actual confirmation itself. You said it would be very unusual for something to change. Is that right?
It would be extraordinary. I was saying that when I first came to the Senate in 1975, I worked for a individual who was elected as a conservative from New York named James Buckley, the brother of Bill Buckley. And for about 24 hours, he took the position that I don't believe senators should be cut off. Therefore, I'm going to vote against cloture on everything. That position lasted about a day or two. It's just not tenable to vote on both sides of the same issue. You only end up irritating everyone. So it would be extraordinary, amazing, unbelievable if the final passage vote, which will happen tomorrow, isn't 51-49, which I assume is what the cloture vote is.
And the only reason that I would wonder if it would change is if Murkowski hears such a backlash over the next 30 hours from the constituency that is just outraged. The only change I would think would be that maybe she was like, well, I just wanted to talk about it more, but I'm all for him kind of thing.
Wow. Well, if so, I mean, there's probably one mistake she could make, which is worse than voting against cloture, and that is voting against cloture and then flipping under pressure. I take it she feels that the people who have hounded her from the left wing in Alaska, and I don't imagine it's very large, but I think she's basically decided to plant her stake with them.
Which, again, is no surprise based on her past history, the fact that she wrote a write-in campaign against a Republican candidate with the support of many Democratic causes in the state, the fact that when she served in the state legislature, she was a Democrat and only changed party affiliation so Daddy could name her to the Senate. Pretty much not a big surprise to a lot of us who've been following this so long. I'm glad all you rhinos out there or old-fashioned GOP guys are also excited about her being your representative in the Senate. Michael Hammond, let's talk for a minute. We've covered the first two of the three major decisions from Judge Brett Kavanaugh, who looks like, all things being equal and fingers crossed, that he will be confirmed to the Supreme Court. Give us this third decision that you were talking about here that he has made that will be important to gun owners.
The third decision had to do with maybe an issue which is more of interest to Alaskans than most states. It had to do with an individual who was an American citizen but lived in Canada and wanted to purchase a gun in the United States. The federal law says that you have to purchase that gun, particularly if you're dealing with a handgun, in the state in which you reside. And he said, I don't reside in any state. For the time being, I reside in Canada. Therefore, this law prohibits me from buying most types of guns. It just strips me almost entirely of my Second Amendment rights.
Right.
And the federal judge who was in charge of that decision, the lower court decision, said, well, you have plenty of guns as it is, so you have more than enough guns, so it doesn't matter if you lose your Second Amendment rights. Kavanaugh dissented from that decision, and that's basically the third pro-gun decision he decided. Let me say, though, that people are talking a lot about whether Roe versus Wade is going to be repealed. I'm not a fan of Roe versus Wade, but I don't think Chief Justice John Roberts is. I think he's so much of a squish that he's never going to let that happen. What I think could be overturned is the Heller decision. Already we have Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Stephen Breyer and all sorts of people saying the Heller decision should be reconsidered and overturned. And if Kavanaugh were not confirmed, if that seat were left open to be filled by Chuck Schumer or some future Democrat president, then there is a very, very real possibility, in fact, a probability, that the Second Amendment will effectively be repealed by the Supreme Court of the United States.
Well, hell, Justice Stevens said repeal the Second Amendment. I mean, you know,
yeah.
this is not beyond the realm of we're not talking about fiction here. We've got, you know, retired justices, sitting justices who want to rip into it and in some cases actually repeal the Second Amendment. You know, and on top of that, we've got a lot of folks on the left who are kicking at the other underpinnings of the Republic, including, you know, the Electoral College and everything else. You want to see what mob rule looks like? Turn on your TV. That's what mob rule looks like. An accusation becomes a lynch mob, which then becomes law. That's what democracy looks like. When they're out there shouting, this is what democracy looks like, you're right. And you know what? Franklin, Jefferson, Adams, anybody who has a fair taste of history understands that democracy is dangerous. We are a constitutional republic with a democratic voting system, not a democracy. And, of course, we've dumbed down every kid in America today, so nobody understands the difference between those things. But as Franklin said, democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding on what to have for dinner. I am not going to be the sheep.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, although it's interesting that democracy, quote unquote, seems to be devolving into mob rule. And I'm not saying they don't have a constitutional right to do what they're doing, but for instance, last night, a Maine state legislator said that if Collins votes for cloture and for Kavanaugh, she will never again be able to come into a grocery store in Maine without some, quote, rape victim, at least self-proclaimed rape victim, screaming at her. And for the left, this is democracy, in their minds, has become what looks more like mob rule. You want to know what it looks like? It looks like Kristallnacht. It looks like the mobs that ultimately helped Hitler take over Germany. And incidentally, you know what happened immediately after Kristallnacht? Germany outlawed all guns.
There's nothing quite as terrifying as, in historical terms, as a uninformed or ill-informed mob that are devoid of rational, reasonable thought, analytical thought, that are just inflamed and inspired by passions. That is literally, you look outside of any of the big buildings in Washington, D.C. right now, and you will see the literal pitchfork and torch crowd who just are, they all they have is their feels. They have no analysis. They have no rational reason. It's not being taught in any of the colleges anymore. They're teaching, you know, gender studies and you know, how to be the greatest waifu, whatever. And they're jettisoning, Socratic method and Western civilization and the history of philosophy and any kind of accurate or reasonable analysis of things. It's all about how they feel. Michael Hammond, we're down to the last minute here. Give us a little bit of summation, and I appreciate you coming on the program.
Well, I think it's been a good day for democracy, a good day for the Second Amendment. It appears that Kavanaugh will be confirmed to the Supreme Court. It appears that that is really good news for the literal interpretation of the Constitution as its founders intended. And the alternative, I mean, would have been horrific. It would have been the use of the court in order to achieve the sorts of liberal crazy ends which couldn't be achieved through the legislative process.
We loved having you on, Michael. If we get further on down this road, or we get some more things that specifically talking with the Senate and things like that, your history has been a great help this morning, your information and knowledge. I really appreciate you coming on. Thanks for being part of the program.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. The Michael Duke Show. Hold on a second, Michael. The Michael Duke Show, your home for common sense, liberty-based, free-thinking radio. Out of time. We're going to be back with more here in just a moment. We've got top of the hour, and we will return with more gun goodness right here.
We've shed our terrestrial radio skin, and now we are slimy lizard internet people. It's the Michael Duke Show.
Thank you so much, Michael. It was riveting to know, to be able to understand what's going on, because again, most average citizens don't understand the day-to-day mechanics of what happens. I do in broad terms, but that was a deeper dive than I've ever taken in on this. So it's good to know. And
well, thank you for having me.
I appreciate all that GOA does. I mean, you guys are, you guys are dynamite. There's just no two ways about it. Larry and I have been friends for many years. And I just appreciate everything that all you guys are doing down there. This is an important battle. We've got to keep fighting it. Comment on this for me. Just before you came on, I was reading a story that was talking about the bump stock ban in Vermont. And I just want your take on this, because I agree with Tom Knighton, who writes for Bearing Arms. He wrote this piece about this this bump stock. And I completely agree with the fact that, you know, they banned bump stocks in Vermont. The deadline was the 1st of October. The deadline came and went. Two bump stops in Vermont were turned in. It's now a year in jail and a $1,000 fine if you get caught with it. There are many more than two bump stocks in Vermont. And I think this mirrors what happens with the compliance with the New York Safe Act. It mirrors the compliance of what happened with the Connecticut assault weapons ban, where people just refused to comply. What are your thoughts on? I mean, I think Americans have been pushed to the point of saying, your laws are stupid, they make no sense, and we're going to refuse to comply. Civil disobedience is a uniquely American ideal. What are your thoughts on that before I let you go?
A couple thoughts. First of all, one of the problems with bump stock bans, even if you don't like bump stocks, they have yet to craft something which doesn't ban a whole lot of other stuff. Most of the state statutes say anything which, quote, accelerates the rate of fire of a semi-automatic without turning it into an automatic. Well, a tripod may do that. A scope may do that. Certainly a match trigger does that. So they ban vast numbers of things. Secondly, they don't grandfather them in. They say, oh, you know that $300 piece of wood you have in your basement, it's now illegal. You're required to turn it in, and we're not going to compensate you. There's a real question of whether that, under a Kavanaugh court, would be held a unconstitutional taking without compensation.
Right.
So it's, you know, the bump stock ban was just a ruse. If you look at, as a matter of fact, at the Trump formulation, the Trump regs, if a bump stock becomes a machine gun, guess what? The AR-15 also becomes a machine gun. So,
right.
They know what they're doing.
And don't forget, the ATF has defined that a string is a machine gun. So, I mean, you know, what do they want it
for
to
a
be?
Belt loop.
Yeah, exactly.
For a rubber band.
Yeah, I mean, this is insanity at this point. And I quite honestly, I think that people in America have literally just, they've just had enough. They've just like, you know, the especially on laws that obviously make no sense, that criminals are not going to comply with anyway. And the honest law-abiding citizens are said, you know, I'm just this far and no farther. I'm done with that. And I understand that feeling. I understand it. And again, as I said, historically, it is a very American, you know, that civil disobedience has changed this country in the past by refusing to comply. And I think that this could be a turning point in the country if people would stand up and en masse decide and say, we're not going to do that because that doesn't make sense. And we're exercising our rights. And what are you going to do now? I mean, like the state troopers in New York said, we're not going door to door. Are you crazy?
Yeah. Well, although in some cases, I mean, they've sent SWAT teams to people's homes to seize AR-15s. So there are certainly some of them that have.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It was Connecticut. It wasn't. Yeah, it was Connecticut. It wasn't New York.
We reached a tipping point, but it never I'm not sure. The one unique thing about bump stocks is they are by and large expensive, and they're not grandfathered, and basically the government says, oh, take your $300 piece of equipment and bring it down to the police station. We're not going to pay you. And
right.
Evidently, they're beginning to try to do that with AR-15s in some states.
Right. Yep. Confiscation, no compensation, and good luck. Again, I don't know why anybody would live in a state that that required that kind of stuff, but I guess to each his own when it's all said and done. Michael Hammond, yeah. Legislative Counsel for Gun Owners of America. You can find him at gunowners.org. This has been a fascinating conversation, Michael, and I would really like to have you back on in the future, especially if we start to see cases that are coming out in this direction. I'd love to have you on speed dial for this.
Thank you. Feel free.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you. Michael Hammond, Gun Owners of America. Thank you so much. The Michael Duke Show. We are in the break here, getting ready to come back. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back here. Oh, wait a second. How many? What? Oh, we still got a minute. We got it. We got time. I thought we were coming. I look over in panic. I had a minor moment of panic. Oh my God! No, it's okay. I got a minute. I got a minute and a half. Murkowski. I figured for sure she'd cave at the end. I thought, you know, based on everything that's going on. And so, obviously, she did not utilize the political cover of the FBI, you know, probe and investigation. She is obviously giving in to the pressure being felt by the ACLU, the pro-choice crowd, and the native corporations, who apparently are afraid that they're going to nullify portions of ANILCA or whatever it is that they're afraid of. She apparently has made her bed. Now, the question is, how do we make her lie in it? I've never been a fan of Murkowski. Murkowski is a leftist pretending to be a moderate. That's what it is. That's who she is. That's always who she's been. I mean, you look back at her voting record and history in the Senate, that's always who she's been. All right, we are coming up on it. Don't go anywhere. The Michael Duke Show, common sense, liberty-based, free-thinking radio.
Streaming live every weekday morning on Facebook Live and MichaelDukesShow.com.
The Michael Duke Show.
I have two guns, one for each of you.
Firearms Friday.
As Thomas Jefferson stated, it is the right and duty of the people to be at all times armed.
Say hello to my dear friend!
I say that the Second Amendment is, in order of importance, the First Amendment. The right to keep and bear arms is the one right that allows rights to exist at all.
The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Firearms.
From my cold, dead hands.
Friday.
It's my right, oh, it's my gun. It's provided, it's provided.
Firearms Friday.
Firearms Friday. Your chance to sound off on issues of a 2A nature. Right here on the Michael Duke Show. I appreciate you coming in and joining us. It is hour two of firearmsy goodness. That's what it is. Hour two of firearms goodness. And we are, we're in it. I was just talking with the crowd here on Facebook Live about Lisa Murkowski. What are we going to do about Lisa Murkowski? She has painted herself as this moderate Republican. She is not a moderate, folks. She is a liberal. She is a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat who changed her stripes in midstream. She was a Democrat in the Alaska legislature who changed her party affiliation so that Daddy could appoint her to the Senate. I mean, that's essentially what happened. And here you see it. Here you see the reaction. If you were looking for political cover was offered by the FBI probe, the investigation, the seventh investigation. You know, she could have utilized that. But I think what you're going to find out is that she probably, maybe she believed the allegations, maybe she didn't. But I think what you're going to see is that she's going to say something about that it is, in fact, his stance on judicial issues, the potential for overturning the precedent of Roe v. Wade. Maybe it is the pressure from the native corporations that she was feeling, that they think that he's going to overturn provisions of ANILCA. You know, I just think that that is probably she was feeling the pressure. Now, remember, when she ran again as a write-in candidate against a standing Republican candidate, when Joe Miller was properly nominated by the citizens of the state of Alaska, and she ran a write-in campaign with the help of many of the Alaska Native corporations, many of the Democratic, you know, kind of organizations and supporters and everything else, that's her. That's who she is. She, you know, and so all you guys, all you dyed-in-the-wool Republicans who, I see this and I always just shake my head. I hardly ever say anything about it because, I mean, you know, why, you don't ever wrestle with a pig, right? I mean, that's kind of the thing. You don't do that. But I hardly ever say anything about it, but I'm going to say something about it now. All you dyed-in-the-wool Republicans. All you know, beat your chest, I'm for the elephant, red till I'm dead, you know, the whole thing. I mean, if and then you're like, Murkowski is, you know, she blah, 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 blah. Shut your pie holes. Every one of you, shut your freaking pie holes. She is not a conservative. She has never been a conservative. Quite honestly, her dad was really not much of a conservative. She's even less so. Stop defending her. You know, and even though some of them are like, well, you know, she really wasn't my choice, but she got in there now, so we're going to run what we brung and we're going to get. No, you know what? Stop. Just stop what you're doing. You're excusing her behavior, which was abhorrent, in my opinion. You know, you may not have liked Joe Miller. Well, then vote for the other guy. Don't take this spoiler who again came in and did, I mean, just, you know, who pretends. That's what it is. It's not like she's coming on this show. She hasn't been on this show in 12 years, maybe 10, 9, I don't know, because I asked her some hard questions and she didn't like that. I asked her some hard questions about her votes, about the way she was looking at things and about how they, oh boy, does she not like that. Never returned to the show. Got a hold of her chief of staff, met her chief of staff on an airplane, pursued that line of to try and get her on the show. Never coming back. It's not like I'm afraid she's not going to come back on because I'm saying these things. She is not a conservative. Never has been. Never, not going to change her stripes. This is just showing it, folks. This right now is just showing it. Sorry. I mean, I hate to just throw it out there and call the truth like I'm gonna, but that is what's going on. The good news is everybody else pulled the trigger, and thank God Manchin voted with... Thank God Manchin doesn't have a spine. I mean, you know, I'm going to vote with the winning side. And thank God he can do maths, apparently, because he made it out. But this is, you know, this is just so frustrating. I'm looking at something right now. Wait a second. Somebody just posted something that I missed in the chat room. Susan Collin is announcing a 3 p.m. her decision. Harold says his prediction 50-50 with Pence as the tiebreaker, which if so, Harold, and as Michael Hammond just said with us here just a few minutes ago, it would nearly be unprecedented for somebody to vote for cloture and then vote no and then change their vote on the other side, either for or against. Again, because I asked the question about would Murkowski vote against cloture and then feel the heat and swing back to vote for the nomination. And again, it would be nearly unprecedented to do so. I don't know. Susan Collins, also said that the FBI investigation was thorough and well thought out and everything else. I don't know why she would switch her vote unless there was some other. I did not hear any other objections from her on Kavanaugh. She was slow. I mean, she didn't answer prior to the allegations. And then once the allegations came, she wanted to be informed of the allegations. So I guess we'll see what's going on. I'm going to say Unite Alaska put at least into the Senate. Now they're supporting Walker. Byler Malott's son is CEO of Sea Alaska, a major contributor to Unite Alaska. This whole thing, and I know we're kind of out of the realm of firearms right now. We're going to jump back into that here in a minute, but this all kind of pertains to that. This all kind of pertains to that. If you like the Alaskan way of life, if you like the freedoms that we are exposed to here in the state of Alaska and kind of that more rugged individualism, yes, we can by ourselves kind of ideal, having Lisa Murkowski there is a mistake. Now, here's the problem. We're 4 years away from re-election. 4 years away from re-election. And Lisa Murkowski carried the last vote with, 11% over? I think it was 11% over Miller because Joe Miller ran again. I think it was double digits. Was it less than double digits? I mean, it was a pretty significant chunk. I think it was maybe between 9 and 11%. I don't remember the exact total right off the top of my head. Alaskans are going to have a short memory on this. Going to have a short memory. You know, if you're a Republican and you're listening to the sound of my voice, take a deep look inside you. Just turn and look at yourself in the nearest shiny reflective surface and ask yourself this question. Does Lisa Murkowski really reflect my values? And if the answer is yes, then great. Just turn the radio off. Which I know I'm never supposed to say. But if just stop right here because you're not going to like what I have to say. If you look yourself in the eye in the mirror and ask yourself, does Murkowski hold the same values that I do, or at least the majority of values that I do? Because, again, you're never going to agree with anybody 100%. But if she doesn't hold those same values, why are you continuing to excuse her behavior? Well, she's the candidate. She's one of our senators. She was dutifully elected and the thing and the riding and the deal and the. Shut up. Stop talking. Just pie hole. Seriously. She is not good for freedom. That's the bottom line. That's my opinion. One man's opinion. One man who's been watching this goat rope for years, watching the things that she's done, the stances that she's taken, the stances that I believe reduce the freedom of rugged individualism for folks in Alaska that I think will eventually endanger our way of life here in the state. The one that makes us more dependent on Uncle Sugar, the one that puts us more in the hands and into the pockets of corporations and special interests and so on. Has she done some good things? Sure. But even a stopped clock is right twice a day. Sure, there's been a few things that she's done that have been good. There's no doubt about it. Not arguing that at all. But what's going to happen in the long run? How is that going to play out? The good versus the bad, the cosmic scales of balance. How is it going to look in the end? I think it's going to tip in the wrong direction. Brian says in the chat room, she owns the donor class and effectively the Republican Party in the state of Alaska. And quite honestly, that is part of the problem with the Republican Party in the state of Alaska right now. I mean, I'll just be bluntly honest with you. That is part of the problem with the Republican Party in the state of Alaska right now. The good old boy, the power as usual, the dynastic politics, those kind of things have become the norm. It has become the excuse factory for the behavior of some of their members who should be reminded that every time I drive by a billboard here in Fairbanks with a picture of Pete Kelly gazing up at the sun with the phrase, you know, government should be limited and people should be free. That's what the sign says. I mean, it's a sign. It's a picture, a full-size photograph, 8 feet wide, of his face looking up at the sky, like, longingly, and the phrase in white that says, you know, government should be limited and people should be free. Limited. You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means, based on how you spend money. I don't think freedom, I just don't think that, you know, I don't think you, I don't know as you understand what we're talking about. I think we might be reading from two different textbooks. You know, we've got the Michiki thing. We've got the outrage in the peninsula about Michiki and his actions and his behavior and this surprise vote for a nobody, Ron Gillum down there in the, Ron's not a nobody, but an unknown nobody. Who all of a sudden